The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
And behold, all things are become new. What does it mean to be born again? First of all, it means that you're in Christ. Secondly, it means that because you're in Christ, you have been made a new creation. In other words, a new person with a new identity. Come on. And the old things are passed away. And behold, in other words, when you really look into the kingdom of God, which I'll speak about more later, you see that all things are become new. So what does it mean to be born again? Let me remind you with the story of the scorpion and the frog. The scorpion went to the frog and said to the frog, "Will you carry me on your back because I want to go across the pond?" But the scorpion had a dilemma. He couldn't get across the pond because he couldn't swim. So he says to the frog, "Carry me on your back because I want to go across the pond." And the frog began to reason and say, "I can't do it because you'll sting me. And if you sting me, I will die, and I don't want to die." And the frog said to the scorpion, "Now let me explain this to you. If I sting you and you die, and I'll die too because I can't swim." And so the frog said, "Well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense." So the frog proceeded to carry the scorpion across the pond. And about halfway across the pond, the scorpion stung the frog. And the frog said to the scorpion, "Why did you sting me? I'm dying now. And you're going to die too because you can't swim. I don't understand why you stung me." So the scorpion said to the frog, "This has nothing to do with reasoning or what makes sense. I am a scorpion, and it's my nature to sting." So the frog learned, albeit belatedly, that you can never take the word of a scorpion as long as he is a scorpion. Some folk are like that. They're like a scorpion. They reason with you. Come on. They'll tell you what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, but they're still stinging people in their lives. Stinging your loved ones, stinging your friends. And no matter what your intentions might be, what you said they are, no matter how noble you think they are, it doesn't make sense. When you really think about it, you think it makes sense, you think it's reasonable, but your nature haven't changed. So you're still capable of stinging folk. You're still capable of injuring others. So what does it mean to be born again? Now, the gospel doesn't teach that you improve or you get better. And a lot of people pride themselves on that. They pride themselves on the fact that I don't cuss as much as I used to cuss. They pride themselves on the fact that I know I got some bad habits, but I don't do it as much. They pride themselves on the fact that I've started to go to church. Now, I don't go every Sunday, but I've started to go sometime. But the gospel doesn't teach improvement. The gospel teaches replacement. It teaches that you make a shift from your present identity to a new identity. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are now become new. You become a new person, capable of doing new things, different things, better things than you've ever done in your life. Is that right? But you'll find that new person only in Christ. No matter what your intentions might be, how high those intentions may be, how noble they may be, you will never change and be a new person outside of being in Christ. You're still that same old scorpion. And you are bound to sting somebody if you haven't stung nobody lately, because it's your nature to sting. But what Jesus did through the resurrection, he gave us a living hope. Glory to God. A living hope. Now, in order to become a new creature, you must be willing to die to your old identity. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must die to your old identity and be resurrected to a new identity. This is what Jesus accomplished through the resurrection. When he arose from the dead, he not only died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, but he rose again so that we could be new creations in him, so that we could have a new identity. As long as you identify with the old is what you're going to walk out and experience in your life. But until you start identifying with the new, you won't be able to walk in the new. I don't care what you confess. I don't care what you pray. But if you don't see the new person, you don't identify with that new person, you're still going to think and act like that old person. No matter what you say, you're still going to end up falling in your old ways. Is that right? Now, Peter had some good insight on the resurrection and the new birth. Now, we just read in our foundation scripture that Peter says we ought to just praise God. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be reborn, who's caused us to be born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then Peter says in verse 23, he says, and being born again, not of that corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, which is the word of God. Somebody shout, word of God. Which is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This is what Jesus wanted those religious leaders to understand that sought to kill him. You're searching the scriptures because you think you might have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me. You will never change until you allow the word of God to change you. And this word is a living word. The letter will never change you. But you have to get this word down in your spirit, man. Come on. And Peter said this word was an incorruptible seed. In other words, the incorruptible seed of God's word cannot be destroyed. It cannot perish. It lives forever. It abides forever. Is that right? Now, the wonderful thing about the incorruptible seed, it really helps us to release the old identity and be born again. You're not going to be born again because you repeated, you repeated some mantra, or you repeated some formula. You will never be changed. You will never be changed until this incorruptible seed of the word gets in your heart. And when this word gets in your heart, all of a sudden you begin to say, I don't have to be that way anymore. See, nobody's going to make you live right. Nobody can make you live right. But when you get this incorruptible seed of the Word of God in your heart, it releases you from that old man, from that old nature, from those old habits. And now all of a sudden the light has come on, and you see the kingdom. You enter that kingdom. Is that right? See, being born again produces, Peter said, a living hope. Everybody shout a living hope. What is a living hope? A living hope is a hope to live by. What are you living by? Now, my confidence and my expectations is in the Lord. This is what I live by day in and day out. I have a living hope, a hope to live by, a hope that is alive, a hope that's alive with God's life. The life of God is in me. The life of God is in you. And when you have a living hope, you live with the hope that all things are working together for your good. Doesn't matter what's going on. Somehow, some way, God's going to use it and make it work for my good. I may not be able to see it, but God sees the end before the beginning. Is that right? And because He is my hope, and He's giving me that living hope, I have a hope to live with, to live by, and I know that whatever hurt occurs in my life, that God's going to work with it somehow, some way, and that's what makes Him God. He can do anything. Now, being born again, what it does, it imparts life for us for this present dimension, this third dimension. See, many of us, we're so heavily minded, we want to die and go to that fourth dimension. You will one day, if you're saved, you'll go to heaven. But as you've heard me ask many times, what are you going to do between now and the time you die? Are you just going to hold on to the beggarly elements of this world? Are you going to just try to hold on and get by the skin of your teeth? Are you just going to suffer the pain until the Lord comes for you? No. We bless the Father. We give Him praise and thanksgiving because He's caused us to be born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when Jesus resurrected from the dead, when He rose from the dead, He arose with power. And He said, all power in heaven and earth is given in my hand. And He's given us power to live our lives day in and day out. You need power. And with that power comes a living hope. Is that right? So we have hope for this present dimension. I don't need hope when I get to heaven. I need hope to get me through this day, to get me through next week, to get me through the rest of the month, the rest of the year. I need hope for that. I won't need any hope when I get to heaven. Now, this is why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5, He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, except a man become a new creation. Now remember what Paul said, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That is your legal position in God if you've accepted Jesus Christ. That is your legal position. But what are you going to do to make that position living and vital? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Now, there's a lot of people that have given their hearts to Christ, and thank God for that. A lot of people have believed on Christ, and that's a good thing because Jesus died for the sins of the world. And once you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are guaranteed to go to heaven. But I don't want to wait that long. See, I don't want to wait another 30, 40 years before I go to heaven to get what God has promised me. I need some living hope. You see, many people made a confession of faith in Christ, and their lives have not substantially changed. Maybe they've confessed Jesus. Maybe they might pray sometime. They may even come to church sometimes. But their lives have not substantially changed. They have the same habits, the same way of thinking. They do the same thing, go to the same old places, hang out with the same old people, but they're still believers. And you can't take that from them. No matter what your righteous judgment might be, I should say your unrighteous judgment might be. You know, we ought to get out of the habit of judging folk. Judge not that you be not judged. People belong to God, not you. And because their lives have not substantially changed, doesn't mean they're not saved, but it does mean they haven't seen the kingdom. See, they're waiting to die to see it. But Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 5 of John chapter 3, he said, except the man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And how can you enter into anything you don't see? You first got to see it to enter into it. Now, what's interesting about all of this, Jesus told Nicodemus, the kingdom of God that he was speaking about had to do with things here on earth. Had to do with earthly things. Verse 12. Had to do with earthly things. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe me if I tell you about spiritual things? The kingdom of God, being born again, seeing the kingdom, entering the kingdom, has to do with a living hope. It has to do with things here on this earth. Thank God. Thank God I'm not left to my own resources. I haven't been abandoned. I'm not an orphan. I am not left alone. I have a living hope. Now, the truth be told, you're not born again to go to heaven. You're born again for this life. This life to a living hope, a hope to live by. Now, here's what's interesting about this living hope. And I was thinking about this all weekend when I'm studying. And when you look at the scriptures and put all this stuff together, it just comes. It's like the light comes on and you see a perfect picture. Your living hope is based on that which was always so in the kingdom of heaven. And it can now be manifest in the earthly realm of your experience. This is why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He was teaching his disciples right then and there about a living hope. Your hope, whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're believing for, those things already exist. There is no sickness in the kingdom of heaven. There is no poverty in the kingdom of heaven. There are no limitations in the kingdom of heaven. There is no turmoil or trouble in the kingdom of heaven. So whatever you're dealing with, through the power of the resurrection, Jesus gives you a living hope. And I want those things manifested in the earthly realm. That's where I live right now. I live in the earthly realm. So I need those things manifested in the earthly realm in my experience. I need to experience what it means to be healed. I don't want to just be healed legally. I need to experience what it means to be blessed beyond measure. I need to experience that. I need to experience having more than enough. I need to experience that. I need to experience being the head and not the tail. I need to experience that right here on this earth. I need to experience having more than enough here on this earth. And that's why he gave us a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. A living hope, beloved. Let me say this in closing. A living hope is for now. And this is a hard message to get across to so many. And sometimes I feel like John the Baptist, like I'm a lone voice crying out in the wilderness. But, beloved, all you got to do is open your Bible and read it. And when you get home, be like a Berean Christian. Search out these scriptures I've given you to see whether they be so. But a living hope is for now, not for heaven. Now, the psalmist, David, in Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, David said these words, and these words really resonate with what I'm saying to you. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You want to see the goodness of the Lord here in the land where you live. This die pie in the sky stuff, where do we get that from? If you're not getting no pie down here, you sure ain't getting no pie in the sky. How many hear what I'm saying? He died to give us a living hope. There's power in Christ. There's power in living the Christ life. Glory to God. So you can search the scriptures all you want. You can memorize as many scriptures you want. But these are they that testify of Christ. But you got to make up your mind that you're going to come to him so that you might experience life. There is no life in God outside of Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, Jesus said, I am come to give you life and life more abundantly. But the thief cometh but not for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And that's what happened to so many people. You've been stole from. Come on. Your dreams and visions are being killed. Your life is being destroyed. But Jesus said, that's not what I come to do. I have come to give you life. And that word life, by the way, is Zoe, Z-O-E, and that's the life as God has it. I am come to give you life and life more abundantly. I am the way. John 14, 6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. Now, there's an argument. There's a current argument that there must be many paths to God. Well, I'm not going to argue against that. There may be many paths to God, but there's only one way. So whatever path you're on is going to have to intersect with the way. Hello, somebody. Every one of us may have been on a different path, but we got to intersect with the way if we want to see the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't faint. Don't faint in this life, giving up hope. Experiencing failure, being disheartened. No, you can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living because Jesus Christ died on the cross to make us sons of God. And as sons of God, we have a living hope, a hope to live by. And you know, you're going to have some trouble in this life. There are going to be some days where you're tempted. There's going to be some months where you have more month than money. But that's where we ought to walk out that living hope. And to have a living hope is to have faith in God. If God said it, I'm going to stand on it. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. If God said it, then I must believe that he will bring it to pass. Now, that's been my experience. That's been Joyce's experience, our experience, as husband and wife, as parents, raising children. That's been our experience, that if God said it, he will do it. If he's spoken, he'll bring it to pass. And now we have that confident expectation, no matter what I'm going through today, no matter how bad it looks to you, how bad it may sound to someone else, I have that confident expectation that God's going to fulfill his word in my life. Maybe I don't know how, maybe I don't know when, maybe I can't figure it out, but one thing I know, I have this hope inside of me. I have this unshakable kingdom inside of me, and I see the answer, and I'm walking in the answer by faith and not by sight. This is what it means to have a living hope. You're not born again just to jump and shout. Not born again to feel like you're better than somebody else who isn't. You're born again to a living hope. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Thank God for this incorruptible seed of his word. And thank God when this word is sown in the hearts of a believer, it will grow. It will blossom. And it will bring forth a great harvest. And as I've told you many times before, your harvest is sown now. So don't faint. Don't give up. Don't become disheartened. I had fainted, lest I had believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many are looking for something good to happen to you? You're looking for something good to happen to you. Your loved ones, your children, you're looking for something good to happen to you. Well, don't faint, because God gives us a living hope. Blessed be his name.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.